Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for you and your family. A time to open the Bible and see what God has to say to us through His Word. The night that the astronauts neared the moon for the first landing on its surface, the moon was a thin crescent, as viewed from North America. One man couldn't get over the unnecessary risks that they were running. He said, "You'd think they'd at least wait until it was bigger than that." His statement showed quite an ignorance of the facts regarding moon landings. It reminds me of the ignorance that some show concerning law and grace. Paul, in writing to the Galatians, seeks to set the record straight. And if this was a problem of ignorance with people in the first century, it continues to be a problem in the 20th century. Just before we look at Galatians chapter 4, we'd like to remind you that we have a study manual available for you. On the cover is a picture of the Statue of Liberty. Very fitting, because we learn so much about our liberty in Christ in this letter. So if you want information on this study manual, just write to us. Our address is given right at the close of the program. Now page 51 in our lesson manual. In the opening part of chapter 4, Paul is contrasting the state of people under law and those under grace. He likens the two classes to a young child and a grown-up son. Let's look at those verses. Galatians 4, verses 1 and 2. "Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father." Galatians 4, verses 1 and 2. The picture is of a child of a wealthy father who intends to turn over control of his wealth to the son when he reaches a certain age of maturity. However, as long as the child is still a minor, his status is like that of a slave. He is continually told to do this and not to do that. He has stewards who manage his property and guardians in charge of his person. Thus, although the inheritance is surely his, yet he does not enter into it until he has grown up. This was the condition of the Jews under law. They were little children, being ordered around by the law just as if they were slaves. Notice what it says here in the third verse. This is Galatians 4, verse 3. "So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world." They were in bondage under the elemental things of the world. The expression means the elementary principles of the Jewish religion. The ceremonies and rituals of Judaism were designed for those who did not know God, the Father, as He's revealed in Christ. An illustration might be found in a child learning the elementary things of arithmetic by using blocks, or learning to identify objects by means of pictures, or learning the ABCs. The law was full of shadows and pictures, appealing to the spiritual senses by means of the physical and external. Circumcision is an example of this. Judaism was physical, external, and temporal. Christianity is, by contrast, spiritual, internal, and permanent. Let me repeat that. Judaism was physical, external, and temporal. Christianity is, by contrast, spiritual, internal, and permanent. These externals, like circumcision, were a form of bondage to the children. Let's pause in our studies for a few moments. Where do you stand in all of this? Where do I stand? Are we taken up with the externals, the things that we can see? Or have we moved on in our maturity to internal, eternal things? Believe me, many still have problems along these lines. It's so easy, for instance, in Christian worship to be taken up with things that we can see, hear, and feel. Yes, and often we do not get beyond these. How would you respond to someone that told you they thought you were immature? Most of us would not like that very well. But that's just what Paul has been telling the Galatians. He was saying that under the law they were like children under a guardian. But the next verses have some great news in them. Just before we look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, may we mention that we have study notes on this letter to the Galatians. We would like to put these in your hands. If you're interested, write to us. Our address is given at the close of the program. Now Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Here we have in a few words a marvelous statement as to the deity and humanity of the Savior. He is the eternal Son of God, yet He was born of a woman. If Jesus had been only a man, it would have been unwarranted to say that He was born of a woman. How else could a mere man be born? The expression in our Lord's case witnesses to His unique person and the unique mode of His birth. Born into the world as an Israelite, He was therefore born under the law. But as Son of God, the Lord Jesus could never have been under the law. He was the one who gave it. But in condescending grace, He put Himself under the law that He had made in order that He might magnify it in His life and bear its curse in His death. The law demanded a price from those who failed to keep it, the price of death. Before God could bring men into the wonderful position of sonship, this price had to be paid. So the Lord Jesus, coming into the world as a member of the human race and a member of the Jewish nation, paid the price which the law demanded. Because He is God, His death was infinite in value. That is, it was sufficient to pay for any number of sinners. Because He was man, He could die as a substitute for man. Govitz says, Christ, by nature Son of God, became Son of Man, that we, by nature sons of man, might become sons of God. Wonderful exchange. In the last part of verse 5 are these words, that we might receive the adoption as sons. What does that mean? Adoption in the Bible differs from the way we use the word today. We think of adoption as taking someone else's child to be one's own. But in the New Testament, adoption means putting believers into the position of mature sons with all the privileges and responsibilities of that position. Notice that we have an emphasis here on mature sons. Now Galatians 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Galatians 4, verse 6. In order that those who are sons of God might realize the dignity of that position, God sent the Holy Spirit to indwell them. The Spirit creates an awareness of sonship, causing the believer to address God as Father. Abba, Father is a familiar form of address, combining the Aramaic and Greek words for father. No slave could address the head of a family in this fashion. It was reserved for members of the family and expresses love and confidence. Finally, let's read the seventh verse. This is Galatians 4, verse 7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. The believer is no longer a slave. He is not under the law. Now he is a son of God. Since Christ, as God's Son, is heir of all God's riches, the Christian is an heir of God through Christ. All that God has is his by faith. Someone has put it this way: child of his love, all things are yours. Consider the universe. Whose is it? But his and yours. Then live royally. Yes, live royally. Enjoy the great salvation the Lord has given you. We've talked about slaves and sons, immaturity and maturity. The short book of Galatians teaches these important matters so clearly. So many are still trying to keep the law, even in our day. This book teaches us that the law only shows our failure and points us on to Christ. I'm reminded of a dying woman who was noted for her charitable deeds. But her one concern at death was, have I done enough? Oh, do you think I've done enough? My friend, you can't do enough. Salvation does not come from doing enough. Change the word from do to done. And remember that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done it all. That's why He could say there on the cross, it is finished. He offers to you and to me a complete salvation. He does not make slaves of us. No, He takes us right into the family, as we learned in this lesson. We must close. If you have questions, please send them to us. Also, write to us for information on these lesson materials. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.